So we will begin with a few lines. This is the refuge, going for refuge and awakening the thought to benefit sentient beings, the thought to attain enlightenment. So in Buddhism there is the objects of refuge, the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. And then the time you go for refuge is from this time onwards until you attain the perfect state of enlightenment. And on whose behalf you go for refuge, in Mahayana teaching is going for refuge on behalf of all sentient beings. Also you can visualize all sentient beings also going for refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So therefore at the beginning we say the refuge line. I will say first and then you can say after me. You can visualize whatever enlightened beings that you can visualize in the space in front of you. So your hands and your heart, you will say after me. In the Buddha,
in the Buddha,
Dharma,
Dharma,
and Sangha,
and Sangha,
I go for refuge, until enlightenment is reached. In the Buddha,
in the Buddha,
Dharma,
Dharma,
and Sangha,
and Sangha,
I go for refuge, until enlightenment is reached. In the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, I go for refuge, until enlightenment is reached. And then now is the awakening of the thought of enlightenment, which is called Bodhicitta or Chanchuk Sem in Tibetan. And for this, you think about all sentient beings, your family member, friend, and everyone on their behalf, and for the sake of everyone, you aspire to attain the Buddhahood. And that to benefit all of them. For the sake of all sentient beings,
for the sake of all sentient beings,
I must attain the supreme state of Buddhahood.
I must attain the supreme state of Buddhahood.
For that purpose,
I
listen to the teaching,
and
I meditate upon it.
And I meditate upon it.
For the sake of all mother sentient beings,
for the sake of all mother sentient beings,
I must attain the perfect state of enlightenment.
I must attain the perfect state of enlightenment.
For that purpose,
for that purpose,
I listen to the teaching,
I listen to the teachings,
and meditate.
And meditate.
For the sake of all mother sentient beings,
for the sake of all mother sentient beings,
I must attain the perfect state of enlightenment.
I must attain the perfect state of enlightenment.
For that purpose,
for that purpose,
I must listen to the teaching,
I must listen to the teaching,
and meditate.
And meditate.
And in here we can maybe do small chanting like a few times the name mantra of Buddha Shakyamuni. And the name mantra of Buddha Shakyamuni is like Tadyata Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Shakyamuni Soha. So you can say this after me. Tadyata
Tadyata
Om,
Om
Muni Muni
Muni
Mahamuni
Mahamuni
Shakyamuni
Shakyamuni
Swaha
Swaha.
Tadyata
Tadyata
Om Muni Muni
Om Muni Muni
Mahamuni
Mahamuni
Shakyamuni
Shakyamuni
Soha
Soha.
Tadyata
Tadyata
Om Muni Muni
Om Muni Muni
Mahamuni
Mahamuni
Shakyamuni
Shakyamuni
Soha
Soha.
So now then I begin on this text, Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And this text has 10 chapters altogether. And you all know that this text is a very popular text. And I found this book in Bodh Gaya, and there is a short explanation about the composer of the text called Shantidev. And really, it's very short. It says that about Shantideva, we know very little about Shantideva. The possibility is that this Shantideva was a great master of the 7th century. According to a Tibetan master Gotaranatha, Shantideva was like a prince of a place called Gujarat. And he was actually also like a minister of a king called Panch Singh Raja. And later he became a fully ordained monk, and he happened to be the disciple of a master called Jaidev. And Jaidev was one of the eminent teacher at the Nalanda University. And then there is another text which talks about Shantideva's life. From there there is only a specific information. It says that Shantideva's father's name was Manju Varma. And because Shantideva stays in a small hut in a place called Nalanda, that's the great place where people study, because he is very quiet, and so therefore he was called Shantidev. And also he is always in a Shantideva is known to be always in a meditation of sleeping and eating, you know? So therefore his nickname was Sleeping and Eating. Very quiet, very peaceful, but he is also not talking very much. So other students thought he does not know anything. So then one day they arranged during a teaching session, they arranged a seat and then asked him to sit on there and teach. And they thought that he would not be able to say anything, and then they will laugh at him, you know? So then he sat on the throne, and then he asked, what would they like to hear? Would they like to hear like a general teaching of the Buddha or the definitive teaching of the Buddha? So everybody was really shocked, to this proposal, and they said they would like to hear the definitive meaning of the teaching of the Buddha. So then he is said to have taught this text, Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And then he was going through, and when he reached the 9th chapter, and there's a particular place in 9th chapter, at that time when he was teaching on there, then it is said that the Manjushri, the Buddha of Wisdom, appeared in the space and took Shantideva away in his flying thing, to the God realm, Buddha realm. And then Nalanda, all the scholars as well as the students were really shocked, or they were really surprised and everything. And then they went into his hut, and they found three texts. One was called Shiksha Samuchaya, which is compendium of all the trainings. And then the other one is called Sutra Samuchaya, which is the compendium of all the sutras. And then they found the Bodhicharya Avatara, and all the scholars and the students then made this text very popular. And there's only two of them, today there's only two of them existing. One is called Shiksha Samuchaya and the other one is Bodhicharya Avatara. So Bodhicharya Avatara, and both of them actually talks about the teaching of the Mahayana kind. So therefore we have this Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and we have been studying here in Armadale. And the Bodhisattva Way of Life have 8 chapters, and it's a very popular text. If you want a text that can present you the teaching of the Mahayana in one text, you can solely rely upon this text. And all the eminent teachers, they teach, lots of quotation come from this text. And so therefore it's a very, very special text. And myself, when I studied Buddhist philosophy, the first year I studied is this text, the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and I memorized the whole, the root text, whole of it. But now my memory is not good. It has kind of faded. The first 5 chapters, 6 chapters, maybe I can chant. But then I have to look in to continue chanting. But this is a very special text for me, and I've been very fortunate to have the opportunity to come to Armandale and share this with the students here, and it has been a great thing. Now the chapter, the first chapter is talks about the goodness of the altruistic intention, which is called as bodhicitta. It talks about the greatness of the aspiration to attain enlightenment, to benefit sentient beings, how great it is and how rare it is, and if one has this, then how beneficial it is, and so on. So therefore this precious bodhicitta is really praised and looked into it. And when you have time, you can read the text. It talks so good things about the bodhicitta itself. And then the second chapter and the third chapter talks about, like, now to have that bodhicitta in us, then we need to have a mind that is very fitting to actually have the bodhicitta, because bodhicitta cannot just take place. You have to have a very special and pure mental state where the bodhicitta can take birth. So therefore, there are things that we can do in order to purify our mind. And there is usually a sevenfold practices. The sevenfold practices, the first one is like paying homage to the enlightened beings. Because when you pay homage to the enlightened beings, you are connecting to something that is enlightened, that is free from the obscurations and the problems of samsara. A fully enlightened one who brings lots of benefit and goodness to all sentient beings. So therefore there is a paying homage to the enlightened beings. There can be Buddhas, Bodhisattvas and all the 10 directions and so on, because you bring your mind to a very pure and special state. Because in our mind usually we don't have such thing. And when you think about the enlightened beings, you are reflecting about positive qualities, so it's a very helpful thing, it's good for the mind. So then the mind becomes very special, then the bodhicitta can take place. And then the second one is confessing and purifying whatever the misdeeds or negative thoughts that we have had from long time. So in order to remove, we become very aware of the negative thoughts that we have had, so we want to actually remove all of them. So therefore we confess very strongly whatever the negative deeds, through our body, through speech, through mind, whatever the negative deeds, negative words, negative actions that have been committed due to ignorance and greed, hatred and so on, all of them actually need to be removed. So therefore you reflect upon it and wanting to remove all of them. If our mind is removed with all the negative imprints and propensities, then the mind becomes very special and very clean. So therefore the second one is the confessing and removing of negative veils in our mind. So this helps to prepare the mind to actually have the bodhicitta. This is like wanting to attain the perfect state of enlightenment to benefit each and every sentient being. So this is an amazing thought, and it cannot just come. If we can talk about it and we can just intellectually think about it, but to have it as substantially as an existing thing in your mind, and so therefore it is quite difficult. So therefore there is this purification thing, like a confession. And then there is making offerings to enlightened beings, the offerings that you can make, the offerings that you have arranged, and mentally offering whatever the wonderful that is there, you're offering all of them. And if you can offer on behalf of each and every sentient beings to all the enlightened beings, you know, then you are including everyone, the enlightened beings as well as those who are not enlightened and those who have problems and difficulties. So if you can offer these, and offer this with the pure state of mind, without grasping or clinging, just offering completely, including yourself, your possession, everything. So there is nothing to be attached to. You are like pure. So the offering is a very profound practice. So you can offer lights, incense, flowers, whatever wonderful things that are there. You offering in that way, you bring your mind to a very, very different and a very special state. So it prepares your mind to actually become the very suitable container for bodhicitta. And then rejoicing in all the great deeds of the enlightened beings, the great deeds of yourself, as well as other sentient beings, whatever good deeds that they have done, even small karmas, good karmas, positive karmas, rejoicing without any sense of jealousy, just rejoicing in all the merit, and bring your mind connected to the meritorious activities, and rejoicing in people being able to do virtuous activity and dedicating and so on. So therefore this is also makes the mind very engaged with the positive and pure thoughts, the thoughts of the bodhisattvas and the buddhas. So therefore if we are to be able to do this, then we can bring our mind to a very special level. And then requesting all the teachers, Buddhas and so on, to turn the wheel of Dharma, to teach the Dharma, because only with the eyes of wisdom that people can help themselves. So therefore requesting to turn the Dharma wheel of wisdom and compassion. Just as Buddha was requested to turn the wheel of Dharma, only then the teaching was given and it continued and continued to benefit so many sentient beings. Similarly, yourself requesting all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas who were there to request them to turn the wheel of Dharma. And then requesting them to not pass away, remain here until all sentient beings are liberated, help them, and so on. And finally, whatever the merit that you have accumulated with these practices, you don't want to, you know, have it to yourself, but to dedicate it completely for the sake of all sentient beings. So this being the sevenfold practices, is in all the pujas, or all the sadhanas that you do, even the highest level of tantric practices or yoga tantra, whatever you do, these are there as a necessary thing to purify your mind. So the second chapter and the half of third chapter is about accumulating and doing the sevenfold practices. And then at the end of the third chapter, you actually invite and awaken the bodhicitta, and you hold on to the bodhicitta. But that's not enough to have a bodhicitta. Then having bodhicitta, then it is about maintaining, to keep that bodhicitta in you. So therefore there is the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter. The fourth chapter looks into the things that you have to be very careful, that you keep the bodhicitta so it does not degenerate, it increases. And then the fifth chapter is like what is called introspection, looking into your mind. Even though you have bodhicitta and so on, it is very rare. It says almost like a blind person finding a jewel in a heap of rubbish. You know? It's very rare that a blind person can find a jewel, first of all, and then finding a jewel in a heap of rubbish, you know. So in your own mind of so many different thoughts, you know, you have this bodhicitta, so therefore then you want to keep it and treasure it and so on. So therefore you are actually looking at your mental state. It's like an introspection, like a policing your own mental state. So if it is getting, you know, getting low, or just trying to keep it up. And then you have the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter talks about the practice of patience. The practice of patience, there is very likely, you know, we get angry or we lose our mind and so on. So therefore the sixth chapter talks about the greatness of the patience. And the seventh chapter, which I went through when I came here last time in August, the seventh chapter is about the enthusiasm in the virtuous activities. So then you are now engaging into virtuous activities. Seventh chapter is being virtuous activities. The virtuous activities are causes of happiness. So therefore the seventh chapter And now the 8th chapter is the 8th chapter on Samten. In Tibetan it's called Samten. And in Sanskrit it's called Dhyan. Now Dhyan Paramita. The Sanskrit text says Dhyan Paramita. And in Tibetan it says Samten Tempa. The name of the 7th chapter, 8th chapter is Samten Tempa. Now Sam is like our thought. And Ten is like a firm. So the firm thought here is interpreted as meditation or concentration, whichever the translator likes to use. But it is about making that very positive thought to become very firm in your mind. No? So you can have a thought of bodhicitta, but it might not be solid, might not be firm. So through these practices, now there is it's quite long. So maybe it has more than 180 something verses, and in here, the purpose of this chapter is to help and to find that mentality of bodhicitta and positive thought to be firm, so it's not shaky. No? So therefore, it is considered as a very special chapter. So then, in here. The positive thoughts, the bodhicitta, and the things that are like opposing factors. You know, the teaching talks about how to prevent them, and then the antidote, what will help, what kind of practices will help to keep it. So therefore, the 8th chapter is called Samten Tempa in Tibetan. Yeah? Now, some people might say concentration is the right word, some people might say the meditation is the right word. But the Tibetan text says it's Samten Tempa. Now this one, because it's quite long, so I'm going to... also it is very important, so I'm actually going to go through it with the help of this commentary. This commentary is by a very eminent teacher. The eminent teacher is known as a bodhisattva. But when I look into this commentary, and then when I look into the Sanskrit root text and a small commentary that it enjoys in Hindi, and then this English translation, I mean, the translator have done lots of good work, put lots of effort. This translation is a translation that they have done on the basis of the Sanskrit as well as the Tibetan text. But the commentary is complete, because when you, the commentator, the, because they must be, because they just put together in a very understandable way. But the root text is only root text, and we can read through it, we might, I agree, but the commentary actually makes it complete. And so therefore I thought maybe I just go through the commentary, which would be good, and we should have enough time today and tomorrow. So Samten Giliu, the chapter of the Samten has three main parts to it. There is three main parts. The first one is the chapter. The 8th chapter has to have connection to the 7th chapter, because after the 7th chapter, then there is the 8th chapter. So making a connection between the two chapters, and then there is like an advice by Shantideva to meditate upon, or to become familiar, to become familiar with the Samten or the meditation. And then the second part is abandoning whatever the opposite factors of Samten. Now whatever the opposite factors of the Samten, the advice is to let go and abandon the opposite factors and conditions that does not help with Samten development. No? That actually is opposing. And then the third point is actually meditating upon the supporting factors. So therefore the advice to familiarize with the Samten or meditative concentration, and then letting go of whatever the condition and circumstances or the opposing factor, and then the advice to meditate and familiarize with the supporting factors of Samten. Now the first one, is in the root text, if you have in the root text, is upon developing zeal. This one I have, it says upon developing zeal, in that way one should stabilize the mind in meditative concentration. Or this is how it is translated, but it says that having heard and contemplated on the methods of meditation and having awakened the enthusiasm or joyous effort, now what you should do is you should place your mind on the object of meditation in a single point of meditation, and so then you place your mind on the object of meditation and you remain in the samadhi or thingism. Now, meditative absorption or meditative concentration, it can mean different things to different people. But in thingism is samadhi or thingism is a very fine state of meditation, where the mind is single pointedly and focused on the object of meditation, right? If it is holding to anything, it is holding to the purest aspects of the object of meditation. So therefore, it is advised to do that way. And now, if you are not to, because we are talking about Bodhisattva here, we are not just jumping in the 8th chapter. The Bodhisattva's journey has started from the 1st chapter and 7th chapter, now the 8th chapter. So we are talking about having a picture, this is the Bodhisattva, yeah? So the Bodhisattva is to get into this practice where they should place their mind in the meditative absorption single-pointedly. And if the Bodhisattva does not do that, then what will happen to the Bodhisattva? Now we are getting into the opposing factors. Abandon the opposing factors. So opposing factor, in order to abandon it, the presentation is, there is a first, like a brief presentation, and then it goes into the detail. The brief presentation is, if the Bodhisattva is to not place its mind on the meditative absorption, then what will happen? It says, a person whose mind is distracted in the aspects of things. Yeah? Usually say distracted, but distracted in what? Is the aspects of things. Nice, not nice, good, bad. A person's mind is not on the meditative absorption. Its mind is busy. True, this is white, this is black, this is good, this is bad. No? So that kind of person very likely is to attract afflictions in the mind, you know, because their mind is talking about dualistic things. So therefore, when you have a dualistic approach, you are very likely to induce maybe attachment and aversion. You know? So therefore, a person whose mind is not single-pointed and whose mind is distracted in the aspects, because the aspects are something that is created by our own mind. You know, if it is real, if it is not real. So such a person abides in the between the fangs of the mental afflictions. So such a person who has this thing can be eaten by the afflictions anytime. So nyamo cheve tamane. What it means is the afflictions will destroy that person. So is in that mentality. Because if our mind is like this, you know, because physically mind is not seeable. If you can see, the mind is always, you know, moving a lot. So this thing can happen. So then what can help to prevent that distraction? So then it says that when your body as well as your mind, you know, vempa is the translation talks about seclusion, secluded or seclusion. Lunasemnivembayi is when your body is in a fine place and your mind is empty of discursive thoughts, you know, then number yengwamijungo, the distraction to the aspects would not happen to the mind. So therefore, what it is advising is let go of the busy nature of the outer world. So it is advising to go to a place, you know, a place that is like a solitary place. Yeah? If you are to remain in a busy place, yeah, you are physically there, and if you are physically there, you are very likely to be getting to distraction. So therefore, jitengi duzi pante is the busy aspects of world, wherever you are, and go away from such a place. Yeah? So therefore, bring your body to a place which is like a very maybe solitary place, or in the forest, or whatever that place is. And that is the physical part. And then the second part is dabbana sunnamto, the perceptions, you know, the perceptions related to desire and so on. No? Completely abandon them, and then bring your mind to a state where it is free from discursive thoughts. Yeah? So therefore, in this, it says that if you are to bring your body to a solitary place and your mind to a state where it does not have discursive thoughts, then the distraction to the aspects would not happen in the mind. So then goes into the detail. The detail explanation is abandoning the mundane existence, or it might say worldly existence. Namdo thorwa is then throwing away all sorts of discursive thoughts or conceptions coming in our mind. No? So when we have, but the world or mundane existence in Tibetan is called jikten. Now this is a very rich word. Jikten is a jik is basically something that is coming off, something that is breaking, and then ten is the base. So the base that is constantly breaking, it can be the house, it can be our body. It is basically referring to the impermanent nature of things. So therefore, jikten, or world, or mundane existence. Jikten, the literal meaning of the word, is something that is one moment after another, something that is decaying, that is coming off. So such a base can be your body or whatever. So then abandoning this. And so therefore, and then the namdo torwa is, then the other thing is all sorts of thoughts that come up in our mind. Usually we own them instead of just letting them go. We own them, so therefore these two things have to be abandoned. Now in order to do the first one, which is to abandon the mundane existence, in order to do this one, there are two things. One is to reflect upon the fault or disadvantaged nature of a busy place. No? So, by reflecting on, the busy place can have its maybe attractive side as well as negative side, but the meditator is highlighting on the disadvantage because meditator is looking for its own objective goal, so therefore it's reflecting on the negative side of the busy nature or the worldly nature. So thereby, by reflecting upon in this way, then one is able to let go of the busy place or worldly place. And then the other one is then going to a solitary place, maybe like a forest, yeah? And to go there, one needs to reflect upon the positive qualities, the attractive side of a solitary place. Yeah? So there is two parts to it. Now in order to do the first one, by reflecting upon the fault of the busy places, so in order to do this one, because it's a mental procedure, so therefore one needs to tune one's mind. First of all, one needs to awaken a thought of letting go. You know? So give rise to a thought of, you know, letting go of it. Unless this thought takes place, there is no progress. So once this thought is in our mind, then we need to know what are the methods to actually let go of it. No? So therefore, Panje Lokeba. So the first one, which is the actually awakening of the mindset of letting go of the worldly busyness, whatever you call it. So that one is explained. chabe chidna nyeso la sebe jik demi bonde tewe dida yomo la kebe dida jeba cha is semjian la chabe chidna is by having attachment to sentient beings. So this is maybe by having attachment to whoever we have attachment, no? Semjian la, usually it is the sentient beings. And then the nyeso la sebe is then craving for the worldly attainments, such as more wealth and fame, good name, and so on. If one is to get attached to sentient beings, as well as then if one is to crave for worldly gains, you know, then jigde miponte is one will not be able to abandon the samsaric existence, the mundane existence. You know? So therefore, a wise person who desire to abandon the mental afflictions, no, should completely abandon the attachment and the craving, and they should practice in this way. So it's a proper instruction for a bodhisattva who is intent on its objective goal, and what they have to do is completely explained here. So what it says is semgi chunyila is the to the very nature of the mind. What they should do is to the very nature of the mind. Sechik dunne beshine is calm abiding or shamatha, the calm abiding mental state, which is single pointedly on the very nature of the mind. Yeah? And one should have this one. And then the insight or vipassana, the insight that arises from that mental state of calm abiding, or insight that is connected to that calm abiding, yeah? Which helps to actually directly realize the true nature of the mind. Yeah? And by realizing this, then the mental afflictions are completely destroyed from their roots. Yeah? So know this first, and then first one should seek the calm abiding or calm abiding or shamatha. And this calm abiding can happen to those easily, for those who do not have attachment to samsaric existence. No? So if you have attachment to samsaric existence, then this calm abiding cannot happen. So therefore, one need to first seek the calm abiding state, and that also happen to those who do not have attachment to worldly existence. So that is awakening of the thought to abandon, as well as abandoning the thought to awakening the thought to abandon. Now the method, yeah, how to do it? Yeah, how to do it is usually we are attached to three things according to the explanation. Here we are attached to the inner sentient beings. Yeah? And then we are attached to outer things such as fame and name and so on. And then we are also attached to helping others where we are not able to do. So we are attached to in that way. Minu Beshendu La Chapa is attached to helping others. Yeah? But we are actually not able to help them, no? Due to our own situation of affliction and so on. So therefore, according to this commentary, there are three things as a method, no? So to let go of attachment. The first one is now semjan la chapa pangwa, abandoning the attachment to inner beings. There are two points to be considered. The first one is reflecting on the faults of attachment itself, no? The faults of the attachment. So the faults of attachment is explained in this way, that rani mitapa sushi, oneself, no, impermanent. Yeah? What a person who is himself or herself impermanent has the reason to have a strong attachment to a relative or a friend who is impermanent. Yeah? So this is does not make sense. It says, yourself is impermanent, as well as your object of attachment, you know, your friends and family, also is impermanent. Yeah? So with such an attachment, you know, even for a lifetime of like 1,000 lifetimes, one would not receive the positivities. Now it's not saying that one should not have connection with people. One should not have connection with people. It's only saying the attachment, when the mode of connection is attachment, then it's going to bring suffering and difficulties. That's what it is saying. It's not saying that human beings should not have connection with each other at all. Oneself, impermanent, and one's relative and friends who is also impermanent, it's not fitting to have like a proper attachment or strong attachment. Because if you are to be in that, then what you will not be able to see, even in 1,000 lifetimes, you will not be able to see the beauty, you know, of beauty of it, it says. Now why it is because the attachment itself is a mental karma of a negative action. So therefore it will give rise to a fruit that is undesired by yourself. So therefore, and then it goes further. If you are attached, what will happen is if you are not able to see such person, you know, that you are so attached to, then you would not be happy. You would not be happy. So what it will do is it will make your mind, it will make your mind become unhappy. Yeah? And that unhappiness, that unhappiness does not help to bring your mind to equally abiding, you know, in a positive state. So then we should remember that it's talking about the bodhisattvas who is trying to develop. No? So the bodhisattvas are advised. If one is to have attachment to the sentient being, one will be obscure, due to the attachment, one will be obscured. One's eyes of the mind will be obscured to see the true nature, the pure nature. Yeah? And due to this, it will also give rise to a sense of sadness. Yeah? If you have even a sense of renunciation, but if you are attached to even that thought of renunciation, even that thought of renunciation will be destroyed. And then at the end, due to the suffering of separation from such person, and also thinking about such, you know, that your time will be passed, and then you will not be able to accumulate merits. Yeah? In that way, one will waste one's whole life. So therefore, this is how it is explained in that way. Now then, looking into the faults of the objects of attachment. Yeah? So there is the object of attachment, attachment itself. Now the object of the attachment it says that chipa is a term for beings who are afflicted with mental afflictions. Yeah, chipa. Usually the word chipa is used for child also. But chipa in this case is referred to comparing to the exalted ones and then comparing to the wise ones. You know? One who is like a child compared to the wise ones and compared to the exalted ones. And they are also called chipa. So chipa, such a person is a shembe denja mayimba. So chipa is not saying that you should not have anything to do with them. Yeah? But they are not an object to be connected with craving, or clinging. Yeah? And then if you are to somehow come into contact with them, then how to behave. No? So the first one is reflecting on the faults of the object of attachment is the chipa, the ordinary mentally afflicted people. No? How, in order to understand this, there are 3 points. The first one is a brief presentation and then detailed presentation and then the summarization. The first one says that takpa mebe zashe ki, a friend and relatives who are impermanent. No? friends and relatives who are impermanent, Yongzhong is the tarpa, the liberation. Due to the impermanent friend and relative, Yongzhong Chu, the dharma, that is the cause of liberation. Even that very dharma will be destroyed. And in here, Chipa is referred to as compared to old person, there is one Chipa, which is a child. And then compared to the exalted person, there is a Chipa, which is not not exalted one. And then compared to the wise person, there is a Chipa that is unwise. So Chipa in this case is referring to the two later ones, which is comparing to the exalted one and the wise one. And among these two, the Chipa is mainly, Chipa here is the opposite of the wisdom holder. So therefore, tadadang kawa nyamba the dawarjana, if you are to behave like such a Chipa, then certainly you are bound to end up in a miserable existence. In a miserable existence. And if you are true associate or connect with them like intermittently, then they would not behave like the exalted being. And so therefore you will be led away from the exalted beings. So therefore, what are you doing by being connected so intermittently to those who are like heavily afflicted mentally? And now the second one that goes into the detail about the Chipas is you yourself will not be able to help them. They also will not be able to help you. The first one that you are not able to help them is such a person who are heavily afflicted mentally, they can become friend in one moment. In one moment, they are your friend. Yuzam gini dayanju is in a short time, then they become your enemy. And then if you are to connect them to the virtuous activity, which is like a place of joy, they are angry with you. So therefore, the person who is referred to as individual being is hard to please. It's very hard to please. If you are to teach them something that is beneficial to them, such as dharma, then they get angry and they would not take the dharma. And then not only that, they will also push you away from the dharma. So therefore, you will not be able to help a chipa. And if you are not to listen to them, then they get angry. And then that will bring to a miserable existence again. So now, the Chipa cannot help you or bring benefit to you is reflected in this way. The nature of the Chipa, what it does is the Chipas, to those who are superior to them, the Chipas usually are jealous of those who are better, superior situation. And the Chipas, what they do is to those who are equal to them, they have a sense of competitiveness. They want to compete with those who are equal. And then those who are inferior to them, and they are very arrogant. They are very arrogant, look down upon those who are inferior, and they don't have compassion or anything. And then minyan juna khondroke, and if you are to say something unpleasant to them, then there is anger rising in them. So therefore, at what time can you actually benefit from achipas? So not only you will not be able to have benefit from them, but if you are to actually associate with them, go with them, then you will learn things like giving self praise. And then talking negative about others. And also you will learn to become like liking to the cyclical existence or samsara. You will develop likeness to the samsara. And then talk about things that brings attachment to samsara. So in that way, certainly there is bound to come or arise many negative actions if you are to associate with shipas. So in that way, this is explained around them. And then the summarization. So therefore, tetarna daudanshen den de dogba den pungor duvasetu. Therefore, now you can see that if you are to associate with the shipas, then that will only bring you down. Tejan daudan mojela, they are not able to help you. You yourself also is not going to be able to help them. So therefore, chile thari cholvarsha is stay away from the shipas.
Can I just ask, like,
yeah?
There's a lot of shivas around running around. So, and some of them are your close friends.
That's right.
So, what it's saying is that you still have them as friends, but don't associate as much with them. Find more inspiring people to be around.
Yes. It, what it's
more
saying,
the opposite of the shiva.
Yeah. Because ourselves also have lots of things.
We're all the same.
Yeah.
Speaking
yeah.
about all the shivas.
Yeah. So and we really this one is we are talking about now someone who is at the 8th chapter, no?
Yeah. You're referring to the Bodhisattva.
Yes, Bodhisattvas, suffer. Yeah, and
so they're still suffering at that level.
Yeah, Bodhisattvas still no the 8th chapter, yeah, but they might not be even at the first bhumi yet, no? They have gone through all this. They have given rise to bodhicitta and they have enthusiasm in virtuous activity, no? And they are less like angry and so on. But even then, no, there are certain things that they should, you know, they should be careful. Because bodhisattvas are very rare. Very rare. And if someone is happen to be there, so we want them to progress. No?
Yeah.
So the bodhisattvas are advised here and then shown the nature of people with the afflicted mentality, or people who, you know, who are so much about themselves all the time, or things like this, and this can happen to you, no? And it's also talking about going away from your ordinary way of living, ordinary way of thinking, so on.
But it makes sense to me, even if you're not living that way.
Yes,
it
does.
That way now.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. You know? Doesn't it make sense? And then if you are to meet them, now the bodhisattvas, what can you do? You cannot avoid meeting them. If you are to meet them, then there is a way of behaving properly. No? If you have a time where you are to meet them, then how you relate to them? No? Tena gave guchates, when you meet them, you know, with a sense of joy, no? Yourself be joy and make them happy. No? But don't become too close to them. No? Don't become too close to them. Tamal pasam, just stay ordinary. The ordinary in here is referring to have a manner whereby you are not attached to them or you do not have aversion to them. No? So, yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
How to behave properly to bodhisattvas?
No. If you are a bodhisattva, if you have certain people, like, okay, not even a bodhisattva, if we have some people and if we go with them, we get lots of negativities. So if you meet them, you know, you be happy to meet them, and but don't become too close and become just like ordinary, which is you have a manner, you know, where you should not give rise to attachment and aversion, no? Because so therefore you are nice, and there's a nice example given here. The bees, and they, when they go and pick up the honey or the nectar from the flower, no? They go and pick the nectar, but they are not attached to the flower, no? Meto la machao shindu, even though unattached with the flowers, It lands there and then takes the nectar. Yeah? Likewise, for the purpose of Dharma, no? For the sake of the precious Dharma, whatever the things that you need for the Dharma, you know, you take from them. And afterwards, to all of them, you know, just don't become too intertwined, no, almost like you have not seen them before, not in a rude way. One should remain like that. So this maybe is like an example of those forest monks, you know? Monks who live in the forest. They come out and then they need their daily food, they come and ask for food, and then they just go away, you know? And they just remain in their solitary places. You know? Now the second one, this is related to jivas, you know, the inner sentient beings. Now the outer phenomena, such as name and fame and so on, letting go of attachment to them. There is 2 points. The attachment, one needs to know that attachment gives rise to suffering. The attachment gives rise to suffering. And then the objects of attachment do not actually have essence. The object of attachment, usually the object of attachment looks like there is essence in it, or there is something very nice about it. When you actually analyze, that very niceness or essence is not there, or it's not existing in them, but it's your mind that is projecting in that way. So the first one is chabe dungal kepa, knowing that the sense of attachment gives rise to suffering, is presented here. Dani nyamang kurti che dala mambu gawoshe thede nyamba chandru na shive oto jikpa ke. It says, if one is to think that, if one is to have a sense of arrogance, or if one is like so much into like, oh, I have got lots of wealth, yeah? Nyeba mangu is, I have lots of wealth, yeah? And I enjoy lots of respect from people, yeah? And many people actually like me so much, yeah? If one is to have such an existence, yeah, such a pride, yeah, then due to this pride, it says that when you die, you know, at that time it will give rise to lots of fear in you, yeah, even after that. I think the only way I can look at it and understand is when you die, then you cannot bring all this with you, no. And if this is the only thing that you lived and existed, no, I've got so much wealth, you cannot take. You really very feel sad because you cannot take. And lots of people respect me, and so many people love me. But when you are dying, no, it's nothing. No, all of this makes no sense. So therefore, if one is to have such an attachment, then it will give rise to the suffering, existence of suffering. So therefore, and then analyzing the objects of attachment. So the first one is not finished yet. So therefore, number mungbe yi is the mind that is completely afflicted, that is engaged in such thought, wherever it gets attached to, such as wealth, such as respect and so on, those mentality of attachment, as well as the objects where you get attachment, you know, they will be multiplied into thousands. So therefore, it will give rise to thousands of dissatisfaction and unhappiness in yourself. So therefore, a wise person should never have attachment to anything. So it is taught in the text here. And then, because from attachment there is a rising of fear in our mind. Now the second one is the object of attachment does not have an essence in them. Is by looking into the objects of attachment, the outer objects such as wealth. Yeah, why the wealth does not have essence? You know? Because wealth is very important. Why does not? You know, it does not have essence. So the perspective here that is given is the wealth and so on are impermanent. Yeah? they don't stay. No, they can be lost, they can be destroyed. No, so therefore, they do not have that essence in them, no, that they can remain and continue to give. So dida rashingi dum isawa dorwar dorwar no tembar kide rabdo tobar kishi. This wealth and so on, by their own nature, without doubt, you know, they are going to be, you know, lost or whatever. So therefore, make your mind very firm in that way, and then make yourself realize the impermanent nature of the wealth and so on. It says, the example is, even if you are to have lots of wealth, and even if you are to enjoy lots of good name and fame, no? But with all this wealth and the fame and the name, no? You do not know, you know, where you are going to be able to go with them. Because when you die, you know, they would not follow you. Yeah? So in that way, it's trying to induce a mentality where the meditator is not lured by the wealth and so on. So therefore the meditator is on track, on the path of their desire for. Because if they are distracted towards this, then they become busy with acquiring more wealth and more fame and more disciples and so on. So therefore it's helping them to look into the essencelessness. These things won't come, even though however much you have. Even a tiny needle, you know, cannot come with you, so therefore do not get lost in this. And then the second worldly thing is the joyfulness when someone says nice things about you, and then, you know, unhappy when someone says something nasty about you. Yeah? So the bodhisattva, it's inappropriate for bodhisattva to go into one state or the other state. And this one is said, Dala mepa shena. It is said, because there are others who says negative things about me, because there is someone who talks negative things about me, so what is there to be happy when someone says something nice about you? So if someone says nice, normally, you know, feel very good. But there's no such thing, because there's someone who says negative thing about you, you know. So therefore it's silly, no? That's what it is saying, no? So usually we get like a sense of joy, no? So it says this joy may be not a good idea. And then it says Dala meba shena. Now if someone is to say negative things to you, why do you get angry or unhappy? Because there are others who say nice things about you, you know. So therefore, if someone is to say bad thing about me, you should not like feel bad, because there are others who say nice things about you, no? So therefore, it's basically not to feel either nice or not nice, no? It's a worldly thing, yeah? It's a worldly being's thing. So the bodhisattva intent, you know, on the spiritual path, should not get too much into it. Yeah? And then the third one is, now the abandoning of attachment to do something for the others, you know, when you are not able to do. Yeah? The sentient beings have various types of inclination. You know? Sentient beings have various types of likes and dislikes. You know? Even the Buddha is not able to please them, no? Even the Buddha is not able to please the sentient beings, because there are other some monks, you know, who have issues with Buddha, no? So sentient meba na so ba jave jani meguna dada nebe mejibu. Such a person like me, how can I please them? No? So and gelong leg be karma la so ba shin dada nebe mejibu. There's no need to say that I will be, you know, there's no need to say that I won't be able to please them. Tevena jidemba namda drobai sambatanga. Therefore, a bodhisattva should let go of, like let go of a path where one is trying to associate with sentient beings, you know, or maybe sentient beings or superficial sentient beings, whatever it is, you know. Now, how difficult it is to make them happy is sentient namni nyepa mela myojin. The sentient beings usually say low things about those who do not have very much, you know, those who do not have wealth or whatever. Then usually they say, they say he's like this, she's like this, and this and that. You know, this is what they are. Sentient beings are like. And then the people who have something, they say, oh, he has this, but he's like this. No, she has all this, but still like this. No? This is what sentient beings. They are not easy to be pleased by anything. And by nature, they are very difficult to, you know, associate. So how can their joy... How can a joy arise in them due to me? How can a joy arise in them due to me? So therefore, the reason, because of these reasons, what they are is chitaryang, shembe randun habashi me pagawa me jame. Very ordinary people, the very ordinary so-called chipa, at any cost, if they do not have their own thing more than the others, then they are not going to be happy. No? They always want their thing first and more, no? And then others. No? So therefore, Buddha said that any chipas are not your friend. No? Any jivas are not your friend, like in the true sense. This is said by all the Buddhas. It is said that Techin Shekpa Thamje Ki Yula Drupa, there is a particular sutra, it says that if you are to remain in the middle of tigers and bears and so on, no, then you would not be happy. Namya Gawar Mijurwa, no, you would not be happy anytime. Techin Shekpa Thamje Cha. In a similar way, if you are to be in the company of very, very ordinary people, and here it's called Chipa. Namyangava Mijura, you will never have joy in you. And then there is a question. Oh, in that case, earlier you talked about the bodhisattvas should do only one thing, and that is to help other sentient beings. So this one contradicts with that. It says, no. It says, earlier, it said that oneself should not become weak and help others. That is the purpose. In this case, it is the opposite. It is the opposite. Tenguzu shendu minyutang. However, actually or directly, even though you are not able to help others. However, if you are to accumulate merit by thoughts, positive thoughts of benefiting others, if you are to maintain that thoughts, then you would not be abandoning the purpose of other sentient beings. So it says, even though you do not have the ability or the power to help others, you should always have the thought of benefiting them. A person who has such a thought of benefiting, that person, at whatever time, it will be led into helping them. So that is how it is. Now, looking into the Wemba, the place, Yundengi Konde, Wemba Temba, by reflecting on the positive qualities of a solitary place. Is a solitary word good? Mm-hmm. Secluded? Maybe not. Solitary? Secluded, say?
Yeah.
Yundengi gonne wemba tembar. So by reflecting on the positive qualities of a solitary place, so then it is advised person to go to solitary place or remain in there.
Oh, I see what you mean. Solitary place, probably secluded places.
Better, huh? Secluded place, huh?
Because solitary means one.
Oh, okay. Secluded place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for to do this one, there are three main points. The first one is to awakening of the joyfulness in your mind in regard to secluded place. And then the second one is abandoning the causes, you know, that brings unjoyfulness about the solitary place. And then the third one, having looked into the pros and cons, the third one is the advice to go to a secluded place. Now the first one, giving rise to joyfulness in your mind in regard to the secluded place, there are 4 points. Yeah, these points are giving, having aspiration with the association. The first one is giving rise to aspiration to the association you will have in a secluded place. Yeah? And then giving rise to the aspiration to the actual place of the secluded place. And then having the aspiration to what you can find in a secluded place. And then the fourth one is giving rise to the aspiration of positive thoughts that you can have in a secluded place. The first one is Nana Rida Chananda Shinna Minyanjaminshe. Now in the forest, the secluded forest, in there are your companions such as deers, you know, the animals, the deers, yeah, and the birds, you know, and the trees would not say nasty thing to you. would not say unpleasant thing to you. Yeah, this is talking about the companion. Dharma Deva, if you are to associate with them, it's naturally happy, no? Very easy to, you know, connect to. Deva Teda Namshi Lenji Damedu. No? When will that time come? No? So easy to befriend, who would not say anything terrible to me, no? Such an association or companion, you know, when will I have? Know, and have this thought and then have the aspiration. Now the second one is the actual place. In the secluded forest place, Pugam Hagan Tongbaham. In a place like a cave, no? Or an empty temple, no, maybe an empty old temple. Or in right under the tree, no, making your abode, yeah? And Kimla Soba Narpangba Teda, the household and so on that you have that go already, Chil Lembar Midrepana, when you do not want to get them back anymore. No, you have made your place in the secluded place. Namshi Gyabdu Mitashing, you know, such a time when I don't turn back, you know, when I don't turn back to this, yeah. Shenla Rama Lepar, and enter not having to rely upon others also, you know. Rawan Chujing is completely enjoying the self freedom, you know, without any attachment to this and that, you know. When will I have such a living style? You know? One should have such an aspiration. And then the third one is the things that you can find in a secluded place. In such a place, maybe there is a begging bowl. So ordinary, it's made of like mud, you know, made of mud or earth, you know. The things that are like considered very low, you know. And kunlam mikove, you know, things that is not needed by anyone, you know. Maybe the clothes, you know, that is left at the cemetery, you know, the burning place, yeah, you know, wearing such clothes. And telula yang teba mebe, longchu tedada, and also no need to depend upon this body, like in the sense of what I'm going to wear today, you know. So no need to worry like that. And even if you are not to hide this body, you know, you have no fear still, you know. So namshik jur is when is this going to take place? A bodhisattva should have such an aspiration. And then the fourth one is the positive qualities of your thoughts, yeah, aspiring for it. So in the secluded place, sometimes go to the cemetery or the charnel ground, yeah? Chandagi Rugon Dharma is where you see the left bones of people who have passed away, whose bodies have been burned. So then you try to compare and see the similarity, you know, seeing that my body at the end, you know, it is similar to like this, you know. So such a thought is a thought of positive quality, yeah. So when will such a positive thought can happen, you know? So one is encouraged to aspire for this. Now the second one is the causes that brings unhappiness and joyful about the secluded place is your attachment to yourself and others. Yeah? When you are attached to yourself and others, then you have a reason not to go to the secluded place. Yeah? So in order to abandon this, this very body of myself, yeah, when it gets rotten, yeah, even the jackals and so on who seek for flesh, yeah, it's so smelly, even the jackals, you know, as well, they run away. They don't even come close to you. Yeah, no need to mention about others. Yeah, and such a time will happen. So this is talking about in India, no? So the bodies are left like that in forests and so on. In here, it's done differently, no? So this one we need to be a bit creative in thinking. But in here, the caskets are very nice. Colorful and, you know, in there is a different story.
But, still doesn't stop the body from smelling, no matter
yes,
how nice
yeah.
the casket is.
Yes. So therefore it says a thing like this happens, so therefore body is actually not a good place to have attachment to, you know. And with the chikbu chungwaya, even though this body is born, you know, alone, with the chikbu chungwaya, the simultaneously arisen, you know, such as the flesh and the bone and so on. Shik the social gejurna, when they, you know, become dismembered, or when they go, you know, on their own, you know. If this body, you know, when it is born, it has all these things, you know, it is to go into separate pieces, you know. So then no need to mention about those who are close to you and loved ones. They certainly are to be separated from you. When you are born, you are born alone. When you are die, you die alone. Whatever the suffering and so on, that is in my fortune, in my karma, you know, the others are not going to take, they are not able to take. You know? So then, the obstacle creator, you know, it says, the friends who are the obstacle creator, it says, what is the use, you know? The friends and relatives actually are not very helpful, you know? Because they cannot share the suffering, you know? They cannot share the pain, and they are to be separated, and you are born alone, you have to die alone. And even now you want to do something good and so on, but you know your friends and relatives, you are attached and so on. It's a vicious circle. Yeah. And Shantideva must have done lots of thinking in his little heart, you know.
Yes.
No. Imagine us, you know, thinking like this, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly, but of course. The condition probably was very suitable, no? In the monastery or in Nalanda, and there's so many eminent masters were there, great thinkers were there.
Mm.
You should go and see Nalanda. It's only the ruins are left. But the guides can, when they lead you at the ruins, they actually show you and you can see the monastery, how it existed, the cooking place, you know, and the bed.
Yeah.
Of the monks, you know,
yeah.
How they even though they are doing the guides, they look into it, and actually you can see. At its big days, I heard that it was so big, like 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers in length and width, and many scholars, people from all the way from China came and they studied philosophy. There's a very some famous Chinese pilgrim who have written actually the commentaries like that in existing Chinese language. And not just Buddhist philosophy, all sorts of medicine, everything.
Mm.
I saw it last year. So, and then it says, Perna, for example, a person who is on the journey, a person is a traveler. No? Usually the traveler, what they do is they stay at one place and then they have to let go of this place and then they have to go somewhere else. No? Likewise, you know, those who are on the journey of samsara, they let go of one place of birth, and then they take another birth, So therefore, your body as well as your relatives, there is no like certainty that this is mine, because you have one life and then you have another life. So therefore, the attachment that this is my relative, is something that you should abandon, because you're born here and you have, but then you move on, you have another relative and so on. So therefore, you. And then finally, the advice to actually rely upon or go to the secular place. Until that time, the worldly beings such as your relatives and so on, who are so sad and who are very sorry that you are gone, and they are mourning your death and they're crying, And then the four people, usually in India, they carry on the shoulder, dead body.
Mm-hmm.
They go, Ram, Nam, Sate, hey, and there's lots of people following, say the name of the Ram is truth, And they take it away. Until that time when four people put you on shoulder and they lead you to the cemetery. Before that time, you should go to the secluded forest. So this is the advice. In the forest, it says, with no one, you have friend or you have no conflict with anyone, and with this body only, and remain in the secluded place, and your relatives and so on have already counted you as someone who has passed away because you have gone already. So therefore, even if you are to die, there is no one, who is feeling sorry or sorrow about you, and no one around you, no one around you is actually bothered by your, by your passing away. Because if you have bothered, then your mind is also unhappy, because they are so sad, my relative, they are so, therefore, and due to this, then you can also, at the time of your dying, you can recollect the Buddhas, and also virtuous activities. There is no one to distract you away from this. So therefore, showing you the positive aspects of the secluded place, and then the advice for you to make yourself a place there. Teveshindu dangave is therefore the place which is very likable, and the forest, and so easily findable. No need to pay mortgage. Maybe in here. It's with not much effort you can find it. Deshin kiba is a happy and joyful. And gosungi yangwa pamje shijeba. Whatever the distractions of your body, your mind, your speech distraction, all of them are already gone. And one should, on your own, one should remain there. So that is the part of abandoning the worldly existence. That is the physical aspect. Now the mental aspect is to abandon the discursive thoughts or the mental afflictions, if one like to say. So in order to explain this, there is two part: the short presentation and the detailed presentation. The short presentation is sambashenne kundambe dala samba chibuyi semi nyambar shaje ta tuwa chaje chamba. Now really getting into the mental part of it. No? If you are to go into a secluded place.
I was just going to say, should we have a cup of tea now? Or what? It's, I just think it's 11:30.
11:30?
Yeah.
You want to have a cup of tea now?
Before
yeah?
we go into the mental.
Okay.
Mental.
Okay. Yeah. have a cup of tea now.
Maybe just half an hour.
Half for Noah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. It's all right. Or did you want to keep going? Mm.
Huh?
I don't know. This course
seems a good place.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
This
is the beginning of a new.
Just go.
Okay.
Just go to the forest.
No way.
No, we need to know what to do. Before we go to the forest.
I think I was thinking it's too late. It's too late.
Before they lift you on the whole shoulder.
That's right.
In India, you can see, you know, when you are traveling, and on the side of the road, you can see a procession coming, and about four people, they have this very makeshift, you know, with the bamboos put together, and then there's a dead body, and covered with a white cloth, and then some flowers, and they're just walking, you know, with intent to the cemetery. Someone is saying some chant, and the rest is following up. But when you see something like that, it's considered quite auspicious. It's like considered a good thing. To, yeah.